This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. Now, here's Chelsea Messenger and Michael Jenkins.
Love it or fade it.
Well, the Eagles lost to the Bucs yesterday, but Philly coach Nick Sirianni has Jalen Hurts back. He says, quote, "I feel good with what we have in place." Speaking, of course, about that plant he put in the pot a few weeks ago. Sirianni said of the quarterback position, "Love it or fade it, the Eagles should continue to build for the future with Hurts, Chelsea."
I'm going to love it. I don't think Jalen Hurts was especially impressive, and he missed some pretty easy throws in this game against the Bucs, but we still are talking about the Bucs, the defending Super Bowl champs, and a team that really got some of their big defensive players back for this win, most notably Lavonte David. So it wasn't an easy task for the Eagles to go down to Tampa Bay, you know, and play the Bucs closely. Like, it is a tough matchup. And we said this, I think, going into the weekend, that we think that the Eagles are still, you know, a year or two away. And look at the quarterbacks out there. Like, who are they going to draft? Who are they going to trade for? Because a lot of replacing a quarterback depends on, you know, who you can actually get. And so for me, I think that the crop of talent in this year's quarterback draft just isn't that great. So I think I would stick with Jalen Hurts.
I'm going to fade it. I don't believe in Jalen Hurts. And I also agree with your point at the same time that this is a weak quarterback class coming out of college football. So I think what you do if you're the Eagles is you don't have to replace Jalen Hurts immediately. He's good enough for the next year or two, unless someone falls to you in the draft. And then maybe you say, okay, we've got a guy here that can maybe take the reins. If that doesn't happen, improve your team. You don't necessarily have to build around Jalen Hurts to improve your team and improve in other areas. I just don't think he's the guy. I think he's a guy that in the right spot can manage a football game. That's what we saw yesterday. When you need Jalen Hurts to lead you from behind, he's not going to be able to do it. If you're the Eagles and the reason why they were good late is because, A, they weren't really playing a difficult schedule. They beat the Jets and some bad teams in the NFC East, and they were able to establish the run. When they couldn't do that and they need Jalen Hurts to win the football game with his arm, he has not been able to do it. I think he's okay. He has a place in the NFL. But in the right spot, if you can find a guy to draft, do it. Maybe just not this year.
Yeah, I think, like, I'm going to fade it as well. I think he's kind of a kick the can down the road guy. He's going to be the quarterback next year, probably mostly because there's nobody in the draft that's really interesting, especially in the middle of the first round. You're not going to find a guy there that's going to supplant your current quarterback, no matter how bad your quarterback might be. So I think, like, you kick the can down the road with Hurts, but I don't think he's your guy in 2023, 2024. I think you start to look elsewhere. And is there a future where maybe next year it's Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson? Sure. I don't want to get in the business of trading three first-round picks for an expensive quarterback right now, because I think the Eagles are more than a quarterback away. But I don't think that Hurts is the guy 3 years down the road. I think he is next year because there's nobody else. Well, the 49ers were the only underdog to win outright this weekend. So love it or fade it, Jenks, the Cowboys' loss sits squarely on the shoulders of head coach Mike McCarthy.
It's not squarely on his shoulders, but it's pretty damn close. He did an awful job. Now I'm starting to change my opinion as I'm thinking about, as my blood's starting to boil, and I'm not even a Cowboys fan, just thinking about how awful the Cowboys were in this game. This is the most undisciplined team in the NFL. You know what's so tough about watching Dallas is that it's penalty after penalty after penalty. Just stupid calls. They hold all the time. They actually made a great call on that fake punt, and then what do? They outthought themselves. They thought, oh, we'll just keep this special teams unit on the field and fool the Niners. And the Niners were like, go right ahead. So what did the Cowboys do? They have to bring in their offensive unit, and then they get called for delay of game. So you botched this trick play because you tried to outsmart the other team. You just overthought it. Even when you do something right, it's like one step forward and two steps back. And don't get me started on that game ending. You know what a bad ending to a football game is? When the referee says, the game's over, because you didn't have the wherewithal to understand that running Dak Prescott with no timeouts was an awful play call. This team was not ready to play. They had all the pieces in place to get it done. They didn't do it. They botched clock management. They botched play calling. They have no discipline. So now that I think about it, yeah, it is on Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, I think I'm going that route too, just because when it comes to penalties and time management, like, those things are squarely on the shoulders of head coaches. And both of these things came into factor in last night's game between the Niners and the Cowboys. The Cowboys had a chance, like, despite not even playing their best game, like, they still had a chance at the end. And instead, we saw a quarterback draw with Dak Prescott. And then, you know, anticlimactically, the clock running out and the referee couldn't get, you know, there in time. But still, like, looking at the penalties, the Cowboys had 14 penalties for 89 yards. And when your team is not prepared and when your team is undisciplined, that falls on the head coach. So, yes, I think this is mostly on Mike McCarthy. A terrible, terrible game. And anytime, you know, the casual football fan can tell that the coaching is playing a factor, you're doing something terribly wrong, because usually, you know, coaching can play a factor, but, like, most people won't see it. But this was very obvious.
I'm going to fade this because I think this loss sits on, like, a lot. There's a lot of people you can blame for this. It's not just Mike McCarthy. We knew that the Cowboys would have to overcome some of Mike McCarthy's idiot moments, and they couldn't, because you got to look at, like, how many times are we going to watch Dak Prescott flounder in huge spots where he just looks terrible? And I get that he's not being put in great spots to succeed, but he just looks terrible. Who pays Zeke Elliott $18 million cap hit coming up in 2022, and he's a dead body in your backfield? Like, there's a lot of people who you can put blame on because that offense is garbage. I don't care if it's, like, scored the most points because they can drop a 50-burger on the football team when they're not interested in playing football. Like, they look terrible in these moments. They looked awful against the Cardinals. They looked awful for about 2 months down there with Dak Prescott has to defend his own slump. And then they go out in a playoff game, and what do? They look awful. And you're going to elevate Kellen Moore to head coach like he has no part in the blame of this. Like, Mike McCarthy, I know, is probably to blame for a lot of this. They're not prepared. They're poorly. They're over-penalized. They look terrible. They're poor in big moments in crunch time. But a lot of people are to blame for this, including Jerry Jones, including Dak Prescott, including Ezekiel Elliott, who maybe it's not exactly his fault that his body's breaking down, but it's not helping anything. So I think a lot of people are to blame. Yes, Mike McCarthy is a part of that, but it's not squarely on his shoulders. Just the moment, like, he's the most obvious to blame, but I don't think, like, firing him and elevating Kellen Moore, it's not going to be an immediate fix. There are a lot of problems here. Well, the Bills led 27-0 in the second quarter and went on to hammer the Patriots 47-17. Love it or fade it, Jenks, Buffalo is more than just a Super Bowl contender. At plus 550, there is still a lot of value left on the Bills.
There sure is. More than 5-1. I'm hopping on that Bills bandwagon right now. I want to go to a playoff game in Buffalo. I want someone to pile drive me into a burning table. I want to drink a beer and watch it freeze on my lips as I'm drinking it. I love the way the Bills are playing. They were awesome. That was an awesome, dominant performance against a very good Patriots team. The Bills are that team that they knew throughout the entire season how good they were, and they were just waiting for the playoffs. Some of those great teams, the Bucs are one, but they played better during the regular season. The Bills were that team. They were bored. They were bored. They were waiting to get back here so they could show what they can do. And now they're firing on all cylinders. That running game that was not great early on has really come along. Even Devin Singletary, I had the under on his yardage prop. He went way over. Josh Allen's playing out of his mind. That defense was stout. I love the way the Bills are playing. I know it's easy to have recency bias after one game, but they turned the switch. They are a Super Bowl contender without a doubt. I love it.
I'm going to love it too, even though I don't want to overreact a little bit too much to a whopping, you know, huge win over a Patriots team that offensively, like, they just don't have a lot of life. Like, I think we knew that going in, and that's why we really liked the Bills -4, -5, whatever it was this past weekend, because, you know, they're just more complete team than the Patriots. But if you're looking down the list of teams that they would have to beat to go to the Super Bowl, like, I think they have the high flying offense to go head to head with the Chiefs, the Packers. And for me, like, the defense certainly matters, and the Bills defense has on paper been one of the better ones in the NFL. But for me, it's more about who can keep up with these quarterbacks, these MVP type quarterbacks in the postseason. And for me, it's Josh Allen, the way that he does it with his feet, the way that he's making these passes down the field, and the way that he did it in sub-freezing temperatures. So yes, I think there's still value on the Bills at +550.
Yeah, he had 7 real drives. Okay, the Patriots, second best pass defense in football coming into this. You had 7 real drives for the Bills. They scored a touchdown on all 7. Like, yes,
yeah,
there
when's
is
the last time they punted? Like, 2 games ago?
And they haven't punted in 5 quarters. Like, there is a ton of value still left on the Bills here. I think you look at, like, the Bills Mafia, Josh Allen might be the godfather. Sometimes you got to leave town when you got to take care of business. And Josh Allen, I have a feeling, is going to Arrowhead to pull a hit on the Kansas City Chiefs. This is, like, this team I just feel so good about. I have all year, and they're finally clicking in the ways that I felt that they really could click. To me, they're the most dangerous team in football. I think there's a ton of value at 5-1 still. And if they beat the Chiefs, I think there's a very strong argument. If they're coming out of Arrowhead and they're still alive and they're going to the AFC Championship game, I think you might be seeing the Bills as the favorite to win the Super Bowl. So I would lock it in now if you really think they have a chance to go to Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs, and I do.
I wish I were the Bills punter. I would sit on the sidelines. I would crack open a drink and be like, I'm going to get a ring, and I'm not even doing anything. This is the best job ever. And that's incredible, especially during a playoff game, not to have a single punt. I agree with Shay completely.
I feel my stomach just turning as a Titans fan, because in the AFC, right, like, this is not a team you want to face, because I know that the Titans have beaten the Bills before. But if you remember that game, like, the Bills decided to go for it on, like, 4th and something, and they didn't get it, and that really decided the game instead of them going for a field goal. So, I don't know. As a Titans fan, I am very, very nervous.
For more, listen to The Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9 Eastern on the BetQL Network, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.